Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
The Jacob Zuma Foundation says that the former president has instructed his legal team to take his battle with the Constitutional Court over his incarceration to the African Court on Human and People's Right. How about that? In a tweet over the weekend, the foundation said that Zuma was in consultation with his legal team after the Apex Court dismissed his application for the rescission of his contempt order. How about that? Well, of course, that is according to the Jacob Zuma Foundation. They don't seem to be big fans of mine. They called me biased when we had that conversation. Perhaps I am. But either way, let's try and understand what this means. Ulrich Rue, a very good morning to you. How are you doing? Thanks for joining us again.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
I want to know what, you're a legal expert on this, and I want to know what your reaction was when you heard that they might be taking this to the African Court on Human and People's Rights.
To be honest with you, nothing surprises me anymore about Jacob Zuma. I don't know what grounds they think they have to approach the African Court, but what I can guarantee you is that the African Court will never overturn a ruling made by the Constitutional Court in South Africa. It's never happened before, and I can't see it happening now. So, yeah, I wasn't surprised, but we'll have to wait and see whether they actually follow through with that or not.
Is there any, do they have any jurisdiction over South Africa, or is it a court that can merely make a recommendation? How does it work?
Okay, so, I mean, obviously, South Africa subscribes to the African Court in certain aspects, but there's no inherent jurisdiction. There's no way that the African Court can overturn findings made by our Apex Court. That's exactly why we have a constitution. Our constitution rules and governs South Africa. No other country and no other laws can govern our country. You're correct in when you say that they can consider the matter and they can make recommendations, but there's no way that they can overturn a constitutional order. This is the same as, when they try to approach the Peter Maritzburg High Court in order to stay an order made by the Constitutional Court. Just simply, there is no legal ground for it. And that is exactly what the judge found in the Peter Maritzburg High Court. And if they do actually proceed with this, approaching the African Court, as they've now stated that they're going to do, then I think it'll be exactly the same. The court will reach a conclusion. Well, we've considered the matter. We can merely make a recommendation, but there's no way that we can overturn the order made by the Constitutional Court of Africa.
If you don't mind my skepticism around some of the subject, where, I mean, I didn't know that we had an African Court on Human and People's Rights, considering especially what's gone on in Zimbabwe, some of the other issues that South Africa's perhaps been guilty of, and many other African states. Is this actually a real thing, or is the Jacob Zuma Foundation making it up?
No, exactly. Your point is 100% correct. You know, if they were such a authoritative body, then surely they would have done something about the dire situation in Zimbabwe. You referred now briefly to South Africa's previous situation. I can only assume that you referred to apartheid situation. Mm-hmm. But again, it's not a court that sits as a South African court does, so as the Constitutional Court sits. It's merely a body that considers matters in African countries and makes recommendations. So if an application is brought to that court, then my submission is that it would be useless.
And where do they sit, this African Court on Human and People's Rights?
To be honest with you, I have absolutely no idea.
I'm telling you, I think we're all taking this seriously, but the Jacob Zuma Foundation made it up. It doesn't even exist. I'm telling you.
It does exist.
No, of course I'm joking. I do know that it does. I do know that indeed. This is obviously what I'm fascinated by, well, many parts of the story, but it can have no impact on Jacob Zuma's sentence. It can't have an impact on anything else, really. Why would he do this? Is this about publicity? Is this, what's the, you know, if I look at it from a marketing perspective, what's he trying to achieve here? What does success look like for him in it, with this campaign?
Well, Jacob Zuma has pleaded victimization from the outset. So he's gone the outset to that he's being unlawfully prosecuted, that it's a vexatious prosecution of him, and that it's an out and out regime that is hell bent on bringing Jacob Zuma, his involvement to an end and putting him behind bars. And this is just another little step in that direction, I think. Let's just go back to, he was of course found guilty of contempt of the Constitutional Court order, and sentenced to 15 months imprisonment, the first time ever that the Constitutional Court has sent someone to prison for being in contempt of a court. And then he tried to approach the Peter Maritzburg High Court that was set aside. Then he tried to take the Constitutional Court decision on review. He returned back to the Constitutional Court, and that was also dismissed. And this is just another, in my opinion, it's literally sitting down and seeing what they can do to make as much noise as possible to drive this agenda that he's again being victimized and that he in fact did nothing wrong. And it has been his strategy, taking that since 1999 when the arms deal actually first came to life.
I guess the good news in all of this is that he's well enough to try and deal with something like this.
Yeah, well, you can argue obviously that it is his legal team doing it. I have seen that there have been applications launched to have the decision to place my medical parole set aside. And one would have to wait and see how that pans out. If those applications are successful, then he would obviously be incarcerated once again in order to serve out the remainder of his sentence. And that is maybe also in the back of his legal team's minds that, they could be facing a situation where he's incarcerated again. And they could be trying to make as much noise as possible, given that that could be a reality.
Just before I let you go, talking about the legal teams, what should the legal team, or what do you imagine the responsibility of a legal team is if a client comes to them and says, well, okay, so we've tried all of these things, now let's hunt down this African People's Court on Human Rights and let's take it there. What does the legal team have any responsibility in this regard?
Yes, remember, we as lawyers and advocates, we are there to advise our clients. But having said that, we also act on instructions from our clients. So we are there to listen to the clients and to their particular circumstances and the situation they find themselves in, and then to advise them accordingly and in accordance with the law. It's obviously very difficult. A lot of the times clients do not want to accept legal advice. Their advice is to try whatever means possible in order to achieve a result that the client wants. But, we must also, as lawyers, remember that our reputations are at stake as well. And if you continue to bring frivolous reputations on behalf of the client, and there's no merits in it, then your reputation obviously suffers damage as a result.
Well, I would go further. I would tell you that the whole legal community's reputation suffers because it really does reflect poorly.
No, definitely. The situation, I think, for you, to be honest. One can expect them to do whatever they can. And going forward to, again, shift the can down the road, try and delay and frustrate matters as far as possible, and make certainly succeed in doing so. No.
Ulrich Roux, a legal expert, that is where we leave it. Thank you for always making yourself available.